Welcome to Pharmacology Roundtable. I'm Dr. Victor Roberts, and today we're diving into a topic that's crucial for many patients, anti-anginal medications. You know, chest pain can really shake you up, and understanding how we can manage it is vital for effective patient care.
Absolutely. It's like being a detective, piecing together clues to figure out what's going on with the heart. These medications can make a real difference in a patient's quality of life.
Right on. It's not just about alleviating pain. It's about improving overall health outcomes. We'll be unpacking how these medications work, their uses, and even some safety considerations.
Exactly. So whether you're a healthcare professional or just curious about how these drugs function, we've got you covered. Let's follow the cascade of information and get started.
And don't forget, there's always a microbe behind the curtain, but today it's all about the heart. Let's jump into the mechanisms behind these anti-anginal medications.
Stay tuned as we unravel the complexities of how these drugs operate. It's all written in the code of pharmacology.
All right, let's dive into the mechanisms of action for our anti-anginal medications. At the core, these drugs primarily work by reducing myocardial oxygen demand or improving blood flow to the heart. This is crucial because when the heart muscle doesn't get enough oxygen, that's when we see symptoms like chest pain.
Right on. So let's break it down. First up, we have nitrates. They're like the party planners of the blood vessels, right? They dilate blood vessels, which helps increase blood flow and decrease the workload on the heart.
Spot on, Caitlin. Nitrates convert to nitric oxide, which relaxes the smooth muscle in blood vessels. This leads to vasodilation, reducing both preload and afterload on the heart. It's like giving the heart a little vacation from all that stress.
Exactly. Now, moving on to beta blockers. These guys are a bit different. They block the effects of adrenaline on the heart, which slows down the heart rate and decreases the force of contraction. So, in essence, they lower the heart's oxygen demand.
And it's like putting a gentle hand on the heart, saying, hey, take it easy. But they also help with those pesky arrhythmias.
That's a great point. And then we have calcium channel blockers. They inhibit calcium from entering the heart and blood vessel cells, which leads to relaxation and dilation. It's like keeping the calcium from crashing the party.
So true. By reducing calcium influx, they lower the heart's workload and improve blood flow. Each of these medication classes plays a unique role in managing angina, and understanding how they work is essential for effective treatment.
So, whether it's relaxing the vessels or calming the heart, these medications are all about making sure our patients feel better. It's fascinating how pharmacology can really change lives.
So, let's jump into the pharmacokinetics and dynamics of our anti-anginal medications. Understanding how these drugs move through the body is key to optimizing their use. First off, absorption. This is how quickly a drug enters the bloodstream. For instance, nitrates can be administered sublingually for rapid relief, which is crucial during an angina attack.
Right on! It's like a race! The faster they get into the bloodstream, the quicker they can do their job. But then we have distribution, which is all about how these drugs spread throughout the body. Some medications, like beta blockers, can cross the blood-brain barrier, which might explain some of their side effects.
Fair point, Caitlin. And then there's metabolism. Most anti-anginal drugs are metabolized in the liver, but the rate can vary significantly between patients. For example, some people might metabolize beta blockers more quickly, affecting their efficacy.
Exactly. And let's not forget about excretion. Most of these medications are eliminated through the kidneys. So renal function plays a huge role in how long they stay active in the body. If a patient has compromised kidney function, that could lead to drug accumulation and toxicity.
Speaking of toxicity, it's a delicate balance, isn't it? Too much of a good thing can turn bad really fast.
Absolutely. That's why understanding the therapeutic window is so important. It's the range where the drug is effective without being harmful. For anti-anginal medications, we want to find that sweet spot to manage symptoms effectively.
So, in summary, knowing how these drugs are absorbed distributed, metabolized, and excreted helps us tailor treatment plans for our patients. It's all about optimizing outcomes while minimizing risks.
And that's the beauty of pharmacology. Every detail counts in the bigger picture.
So, let's explore the therapeutic uses of anti-anginal medications. These drugs are primarily indicated for conditions like stable angina and acute coronary syndrome. Stable angina, for instance, is often triggered by physical exertion or stress, and these medications can help prevent those episodes.
Right on. It's like having a safety net for your heart. Patients can go about their daily activities with less fear of sudden chest pain. But it's not just about stable angina. We also use these medications in acute coronary syndrome, which is a bit more serious, right?
Exactly. In acute coronary syndrome, the heart isn't getting enough blood flow due to a blockage. Anti-anginal medications can help stabilize the situation while other treatments are being considered. It's crucial to act quickly in these scenarios.
Fair point. We also need to consider patient profiles. For instance, younger patients with fewer comorbidities might respond well to beta blockers, while older patients with multiple health issues might benefit more from nitrates or calcium channel blockers.
And we can't ignore lifestyle factors. Some patients might need a combination of medications along with lifestyle changes like diet and exercise to really manage their symptoms. It's all about a comprehensive approach.
Spot on, Caitlin. Each patient is unique, and their treatment plan should reflect that. We have to consider their overall health, preferences, and even their response to previous treatments.
So in summary, anti-anginal medications play a vital role in managing various forms of angina. And tailoring therapy to individual patients can significantly enhance their quality of life.
And it's fascinating how one size definitely doesn't fit all in medicine.
Next up, let's discuss the side effects and toxicity associated with anti-anginal medications. While these drugs are effective, they're not without their risks. For instance, nitrates can cause headaches and dizziness due to their vasodilatory effects. It's like your blood vessels are throwing a party, but sometimes they go a bit overboard.
No kidding! Those headaches can be a real bummer, and then there's the risk of tolerance with nitrates, right? If patients use them too frequently, they might find that the medication becomes less effective over time.
Spot on, Caitlin. That's why we often recommend a nitrate-free period each day to help mitigate that tolerance. Moving on to beta blockers, they can lead to fatigue and bradycardia, which is a slower heart rate. It's important to monitor patients closely, especially if they have pre-existing heart conditions.
Fair point. And calcium channel blockers can sometimes cause peripheral edema, swelling in the legs and ankles. It's a bit like your legs are saying, "We need a break." This can be uncomfortable for patients, so we need to be proactive in managing these side effects.
Speaking of managing, it's crucial to educate patients about these potential side effects. They need to know what to watch for and when to reach out for help.
Absolutely. Monitoring strategies are essential. Regular follow-ups can help catch any adverse reactions early, allowing us to adjust treatment as needed.
So, in summary, while anti-anginal medications can significantly improve patient outcomes, we must remain vigilant about their side effects and toxicity. It's all about striking that balance between benefits and risks.
And that's why teamwork in healthcare is so important.
So let's dive into drug interactions and considerations when prescribing anti-anginal medications. It's crucial to understand how these drugs can interact with others, especially in patients who often take multiple medications. For instance, nitrates can interact with phosphodiesterase inhibitors, like sildenafil, leading to dangerous drops in blood pressure.
Right on! It's like mixing oil and water. Definitely not a good idea. And then there's the potential for beta blockers to interact with other cardiovascular drugs, which can amplify their effects or lead to bradycardia.
Fair point. We also need to consider how certain medications can affect the metabolism of anti-anginal drugs. For example, some statins can increase the levels of calcium channel blockers, which could lead to toxicity. Monitoring is key here.
Exactly. It's all about clinical judgment. When prescribing these medications, we must take a comprehensive look at the patient's entire medication list, including over-the-counter drugs and supplements.
And don't forget about lifestyle factors. Things like grapefruit juice can affect the metabolism of certain drugs, leading to unexpected interactions. It's like a plot twist in a medical drama.
So true. Patient education is vital. We should encourage patients to communicate openly about all the substances they're taking, including herbal remedies.
In summary, understanding drug interactions and considering each patient's unique situation is essential for safe, adenergoped, and effective treatment with anti-angiogenal medications. It's a balancing act that requires vigilance.
And that's why teamwork in healthcare is so important. Everyone plays a role in keeping patients safe.
All right, let's reflect on some practice and prescribing insights for anti-angiogenal antimedications. When prescribing these drugs, it's crucial to consider individual patient profiles. For instance, younger patients might benefit from a beta blocker, while older patients with multiple comorbidities may require a different approach.
Right on. It's like fitting a puzzle together. Every piece matters. We also need to think about the formulation of the medication. Some patients might prefer a long-acting formulation for convenience, while others might need quick relief from a sublingual nitrate.
Fair point. Patient education plays a huge role here. We should explain how and when to take their medications and what to expect in terms of effects and side effects. It's about empowering them to manage their own health.
Exactly. And we shouldn't overlook the importance of follow-up appointments. Regular monitoring can help us catch any issues early, whether it's adjusting dosages or switching medications based on how the patient is responding.
Speaking of monitoring, it's also vital to assess lifestyle factors. Encouraging patients to adopt heart-healthy habits can enhance the effectiveness of their medication. It's like giving them a superhero cape to fight against angina.
So true. And let's not forget about the importance of a multidisciplinary approach. Collaborating with dietitians, physiotherapists, and other healthcare professionals can provide a more comprehensive treatment plan for our patients.
In summary, personalizing treatment, educating patients, and maintaining open lines of communication are key elements in the effective management of angina. It's all about creating a supportive environment for our patients.
And that's how we turn knowledge into action.
So, as we wrap up today's discussion on anti-angiogenal medications, let's recap the key points we've covered. We started with the importance of managing chest pain, and how these medications play a vital role in improving patients' quality of life. From understanding their mechanisms of action to their pharmacokinetics, it's clear that a comprehensive approach is essential.
Right on. We also explored the therapeutic uses, highlighting how different patient profiles can affect treatment choices. It's like tailoring a suit. Every patient is unique, and their treatment should reflect that.
Fair point, Caitlin. We discussed the potential side effects and toxicity, which reminds us that while these medications are effective, they require careful monitoring. Safety should always be a priority in our prescribing practices.
Exactly. And we touched on drug interactions, emphasizing the need for clinical judgment when managing patients on multiple medications. It's crucial to keep the lines of communication open with our patients about all the substances they're taking.
And let's not forget the importance of lifestyle modifications. Encouraging patients to adopt heart-healthy habits can significantly enhance the effectiveness of their treatment.
So true. As we conclude, remember that understanding these pharmacological principles is key to providing optimal care. It's all written in the Code of Effective Patient Management.
Thanks for joining us today on Pharmacology Roundtable. We hope you found this discussion enlightening and useful in your practice. Don't forget to tune in next time for more insights into the world of pharmacology.